Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Megan Kellett, the Associate Site Editor at SearchStorage.com. I'm here today with Ashish Nadkarni, Senior Analyst and Consultant at Tanasia Group, to talk about tiered data storage. Hi, Ashish, and thanks for being here with me today.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm great. So, Ashish, my first question is, what are the top two steps you should follow in classifying your data, and how much of that classification is a manual process?
So, data classification is a tricky proposition, and it seems like there's no real answer to how people classify or people should classify their data. The traditional way has been a bottom-up approach, which is to basically start by defining your storage tiers, assigning a cost value to it, a business value to it, and then subsequently you apply those tiers to your applications and the data that is part of those applications. The new way to do it is to start with data classification right at the application layer. So you're doing the classification within the application, whether they are databases or any other type of applications, and then you're working your way down, which is you're starting from the application and working your way down into the storage tiers. So matching the application types to storage tiers is the manual component, but the movement of data from one tier to another from within the application itself can be automated by deploying policies. So the two steps is, trying to look at what applications can make use of what tiers, and then secondly, what kind of policies you can apply from within the applications or at the file system layer to move this data from one tier to another. Now, automated tiering or dynamic tiering does help with this situation, but it is not really a substitute, if you will, for the manual classification process.
Okay. Now, what would you say are some of the most common challenges that people run into when classifying their data for storage tiering?
So like I mentioned, matching applications to storage tiers is often a big challenge because, for one thing, many times when people talk about storage tiering, the attributes of the storage tiers, so whether you take performance or whether you take, capacity and, provisioning methods and such, most of the time these attributes don't often match the business value of the applications themselves. So you may have and business value of the applications and the data that they store. So, for example, you might have an application that is not really mission critical, and you may want to keep it on, say, tier 2 or tier 3 storage, or, in other words, a lower cost storage tier. But that lower cost storage tier may not perform as well as maybe the higher cost storage tiers, but just because this application is not mission critical doesn't mean it is low performance. It could have very high performance requirements. So that's a mismatch right there. So you can deploy solutions that provide this burst capacity in terms of performance and such, say dynamic tiering or SSD-based caching mechanisms and such, which allow you to sort of temporarily assign a higher cost tier to that application as and when it needs it, and then move it down as necessary. So the most common challenge is just the fact that your applications need to be promoted and demoted as needed. And then, the other challenge that people run into is, who do you ask? Every business is going to want to have their applications sitting on the most expensive tier, the most high-performance tier. So who makes that decision? What kind of rationale is used to put these applications under their appropriate buckets and such?
Okay. Now, Ashish, what role does ILM play in storage tiering?
So ILM, or Information Lifecycle Management, is a phrase that was, coined back a few years ago, and it seems to be slowly on its way out to be replaced with other phrases, and that's just the nature of the industry. There's not much we can do there. But the essence of ILM has been captured in solutions that are that are coming out today, solutions like automated tiering, sublunt tiering, dynamic tiering. That automatically move data from one tier to another based on their access profile, value, and such. The key element of ILM really was the information part, the information management part. And unfortunately, I think the most solutions that we see today operate at a level that is far removed from the information intelligence, if you will. And that information management does require content-aware solutions, and I think the industry is still in the process of matching it to really true storage tiering. So we are not there yet, I think, but if you take some of the high-level solutions that are out today, the idea is that you are able to move your data between various tiers based on the value of the information from one tier to another and such.
Okay, now moving on to tools, what are some examples of data migration tools that can help the storage tiering process?
So data migration is a beast by itself, and most of the tools that are used for data migrations fall into three categories. There are ones that operate at the block I/O level, so you know you'll see storage tools, storage-based tools, and such. The second type is the ones that operate at a file system level or a sub-file system level, and those are mostly you know either host or appliance-based. And then finally, there's ones that work at the application level itself. So the tool will reside from deep within the application and perform you know any data movement there. The one thing that you have to keep in mind with data migration is that it is data migration itself is a one-time activity, and most of the time the tools that are designed for data migrations are designed to be very efficient at one-time processes, whereas with storage tiering it's more of an ongoing process. So you have to be a little careful that you cannot just pick an off-the-shelf data migration tool which is really designed to be efficient at doing something once and automatically imply that it'll be good at an ongoing process. But that said, let's look at, so the ones that work at the block level that handle data in a content agnostic manner, and when you know you use them in an environment, they treat all data types in the same way. They examine the access patterns of the blocks in question, and they move them accordingly from one location to another. Those are mostly, like I said, they operate at a very low level and can be, you know, adapted to ongoing processes, storage tiering processes. The ones that work at the file system or the sub-file system level, they are more, you know, sometimes they are host-based or appliance-based. They can be made content-aware. So you can have a tool that is highly efficient at moving Exchange or SQL data, and you can have that be a tool sitting in the environment automatically moving data in an ongoing manner, and they can handle both structured and unstructured data. So, you know, you're talking about user data or, you know, data sitting in databases or applications. And then finally, you have a data migration tool or a you know, storage tiering tool, if you want to call that, sitting right deep within the application. So it is very good at moving data for that particular application itself, but it's got practically no value when it comes to a homogeneous environment. Whereas with the file system and the sub-file system tools and the block I/O tools, they're more suitable for heterogeneous environments or environments that have groups of servers, both physical and virtual, and can be deployed in multiple scenarios.
Okay. Now, Ashish, I understand that dynamic storage tiering products are defined as data movers that use an analysis facility to look at data characteristics, but how can that help with your tiered data storage?
So if you take the above classification that I talked about and apply it to dynamic storage tiering, the one thing that becomes clear is that the fact that dynamic tiering, in dynamic tiering, it is all about the analysis. So the more efficient your analysis, the more efficient the dynamic tiering. If the analysis is done at the block level, the action taken is at the block level. And for better or worse, it can be efficient or inefficient depending on what type of application data is being analyzed and how the application accesses the data that is stored in that data set or the blocks of data that is being analyzed. What I am driving at here is that the dynamic storage tiering aspect or you know solution, if you will, should be part of the overall storage tiering solution, but is not an end-all be-all replacement for storage tiering or, for that matter, smart manual tiering and classification and data movement at the file system and application level. So as the situation warrants, you have to do all these things together. And then finally, what you should keep in mind, or what everyone should keep in mind, is that archiving, data archiving, is also should be included in the solution. And part of that also is the purging of information. So, you know, there's no point in keeping information that is not needed anymore. And whatever is needed for long-term archiving should be moved off to those tiers and such.
Okay. Thank you for all those answers, Ashish.
My pleasure.
And for more information on tiered data storage, you can visit searchstorage.com.